Acts 17, we're at verse 10. And we're going to look at verse 10 through 15. Paul and his team here have left Thessalonica by night. Due to persecution, Paul and Silas are now in Berea. And that's where we pick them up today with the Bereans. Wonderful group of people. Acts chapter number 17, verse number 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him, with all speed they departed. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for the time we've had together here in the book of Acts to study the Acts of the Apostles and the early church. Lord, we encounter a unique group of people today, people that we hope that we find ourselves like in a lot of ways, the Bereans. Lord, we pray that you would help us to take to heart the things that we learned of them this morning, to use them in our own lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. Pray your blessing upon this time we have together in it now. In Jesus' name, we ask for your help. Amen. Well, Berea is about 50 miles away from Thessalonica, and right off the bat, we get a unique saying about these people here in Berea. The Bereans are called more noble. Well, that term originally meant high-born, or maybe in the southeastern United States, well-bred, but we don't specifically speak of people this way. You might speak of coon dogs this way. You might speak of mules this way, correct? What else did I leave out there? Is that pretty much got it, doesn't it? Coon dogs and mules. But these people were spoke of this way. They are more noble. Now, the word became to be used in a more general use, and I think this is what the author Luke is speaking of here in this group, the Bereans, to mean they were open, they were tolerant, they were generous. And I think that very much describes the group of people that we find here that we would come to call the Bereans. They were more noble for sure, especially, as it says, than the people of Thessalonica. Well, as you can hopefully predict by now, Paul arrives to the new town, and where does he go? None other than the synagogue. He finds his way down to the synagogue. He preaches there, and many believe. Then the Jews from Thessalonica, they make the 50-mile journey over, and they begin to cause some trouble, and Paul again has to escape away. Silas and Timothy stay behind. That seems to be the new pattern here. He's got a group of helpers. The ones in trouble leave town. The ones that maybe they don't know about yet or who are not in trouble kind of stay behind and help the new church there as they get formed. Paul makes it on to Athens, and then once he's there and settled, he sends for them to come to him there in Athens. Well, that story is very typical of the missionary journeys that we are reading about. In fact, it follows almost exactly the same pattern. But what is not typical here as we read these five or six verses are the Bereans. These are not typical people. They are not the typical people that Paul and Silas and Barnabas and all of the rest are encountering. Timothy and John Mark. I don't want to leave anybody out, right? This is different. This is a different group of people. Luke writes that they have a ready mind, that they search the word daily, and then he writes that they believe the word. So using those same points this morning, I want to speak to you today about how to receive the word. We come here every single Sunday and we hear sermon. Most of you go to a Sunday school class and you hear a lesson. Hopefully you get up and every single day, or you end every single night by reading something from the scriptures. And I think if we can learn anything from the Bereans is how did they receive the word and how can we receive the word? So let's begin with the first thing we're told about them initially here, beginning in verse number 11, have a ready mind. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. So Paul preaches, and the Bereans receive the word with what Luke describes as all readiness of mind. Did you ever in school, we used to have to take the Iowa test of basic skills. Do you guys remember this? Was that a Georgia thing? I'm getting a couple of nods. I'd have to take something else now. I don't know what it's called. TCAP, is that what it is? TCAP, you know? I don't know what it stands for, but you know, I loved that time of year. Now, I didn't like the testing, just to be honest. You had to bubble in all the stuff there, and that was no fun to me, and you didn't get recess like you normally did. You still got recess, but you couldn't break up the testing and go. But I'll tell you what I liked. The ladies over in the lunchroom wanted us to have a ready mind for this testing. So they probably don't do this anymore, but they would march us all through there, and we'd get this little bitty tiny cup of red Kool-Aid, and we'd get these two little bitty, I don't know where they got these tiny cups and tiny cookies. Maybe they weren't tiny to me when I was 8 years old. I guess not. They seem tiny to me now. And we would drink our Kool-Aid, and we'd drink the Kool-Aid before the standardized testing, and we would eat our cookies. And I guess they thought at that time, they don't do that anymore, do they? Is this not a thing anymore? No, I didn't think so. We're giving kids red Kool-Aid for sure in school. But they were getting us awake. They were getting us alert. If we had not been fed breakfast that morning or if we needed a snack, it kind of just got things as they should be. Well, that plays over into the spiritual realm. And we see that with the Bereans here. They receive what Paul preaches to them in the synagogue. Now, these are Jewish people. This is a Jewish synagogue. That has not changed. But he comes in and he begins to preach to them the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that they riot. It doesn't say that they beat him. It doesn't say that they jail him. It doesn't say they kick him out of town. It says they receive what he preaches to them because they have a ready mind. They are ready to receive what is being preached to them. They receive the word with eagerness. There was a sense of expectancy about their listening. They were sincere and genuine in their anticipation of what they were about to hear. They viewed it as both important and needful. This was not merely academic for them. They were not engaged with emotional detachment. They were not engaged with routine familiarity. They were not listening half-heartedly. They were not listening with a sense of obligation only. I found myself there as a person in church over the years. You listen with a sense of obligation only. I'll never tell, but there was a gentleman preaching in this church one night, guest from out of town. I had just come here. And he preached that morning and just bored me to death. I mean, just absolutely. Preaching can be boring sometimes. I'll admit it. And then came back that night and preached again for us. And I was tired. We had to picked him up at the airport late on a Saturday night. So I was out, my bedtime's about 9. So I was out late getting him, took him to dinner, got up early, went and picked him up at the hotel, had breakfast, brought him over here. You know, you're out of your normal routine of things. By that Sunday evening service, I was just tired and exhausted, and he was boring us some more. No offense to him in particular. But so I'm sitting right here on the front row. Some of you probably remember this. And he's in his sermon. And I don't know if he just wanted my confirmation for what he was saying because I was pastor, or if he realized I was nodding off. I'm not sure which one. Did y'all realize I was nodding off? But I was having to listen to his sermon with a sense of obligation. Well, I wasn't doing a very good job. And he said something, and then he asked me to either agree or disagree with him in the course of his sermon. And I just kind of gave the, huh? It was very embarrassing. We need to receive the word with a ready mind, not out of a sense of obligation. The Bereans had minds ready to receive the word. So I ask you, this is a good time to ask this, what exactly do you expect to occur in the next 20 minutes or so of your life? I mean, I'm not going to quiz you later. I'm not going to give you a test on the sermon that I've preached here. And I do my absolute best to keep you from nodding off. I promise that I do, but I think that is something we need to consider more in our lives. So many church members have all of these different reasons for why they don't know the word or don't understand the word, don't get enough of the word like they feel like they should. But But I'll be honest, what did you actually show up this morning hoping to have happen? You know, there's two different ways, really, of eating. This is a little bit gross, but there's the mama bird to the baby bird way of feeding. You know what happens there? Mama gets the worm or whatever, chews it up real good and gets it digestible, and then spits it in the baby bird's mouth. Can we admit that this is not the best way for human beings? Then there's the human being way. Someone prepares the meal, and you sit down and you feed yourself. Amen? Which do you prefer in the sermon this morning? You want to feed yourselves? Absolutely you do. But I don't know that that's always how we show up. I think you've expected me to take the word, pre-digested it for you, just sort of vomit it into your spiritual mouth, and you'd be able to just absorb it and take it. I want us to be careful there. The Bereans were noble people, but they were noble people because they had a mind ready to receive the word. They were eager for it. I can always tell the eager ones, and don't start doing this because I said it, but the eager ones will always kind of hint at me about, well, we've been having a little extra singing lately, haven't we? What's their problem with the music? They love the music, and it's music, but in their mind, they're sitting there thinking, oh, a fourth song? Now, you go to some churches, they'll sing for 45 minutes, right? Have y'all been to church? But we're a church focused on the word. Nothing against singing. Love the music today was perfect. But I can tell the eager minds and maybe the not-so-eager minds by the, they're not looking, am I done yet? They're looking like, is he started? When's it going to happen? Or those Sunday mornings where we finish this service around 9:20, you know, we get done a little bit early. I'm thinking to myself, hey, y'all get down. You get the first dibs on the donuts and the coffee and all this. But some of you come out and you look at me, you're a little short this morning, weren't you? Did you get busy this week? Right? This is a good thing. Eager minds want the, give us the word. Tell us what God says. They had minds ready to receive the word. Whether we're reading the word, whether we're studying the word, whether it's in a group time, whether it's while we're hearing a sermon, it is crucial that we know how to receive the word. And this begins with having a mind that is ready. Well, how do we do this? Praying ahead of time prepares us for the word. When you pray before you enter a time of hearing or studying the word, your mind will be prepared for what you're about to receive. You ever sat down to read your Bible and all you could think about was something you had to fix that day, work on that day? You had this issue? Sitting there reading my Bible, you know, and I'm going to change the spark plugs, and everything in the scripture has to do with spark plugs that morning, you know what I mean? Or I can't remember what I just read for the last 5 minutes because all I was thinking about was the spark plugs. When you sit down to read, you must prepare yourselves ahead of time. Get your mind ready. Pray, Lord, help me. Clear my mind. Holy Spirit, guide me as I begin to read the word. Pray for yourself before entering a time of reading or a time of study. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the teacher before a sermon or a lesson. Do you come over here before you get here on Sunday? Do you pray for me? You probably sit there during the sermon and think, man, I should have prayed for him this morning. He really needs it. But you should pray, or whoever's preaching that morning, or your Sunday school teacher. If you're like me, I'm more apt to point out their flaws than to pray for them to do better ahead of time. That's about how we are. Pray for them. They'll do better. One, because you've prepared your mind, and two, because God will bless them because of your praying, and they'll just do a better job. I want the best preaching I can hear. I want the best teaching that I can hear. I want it to be great. I want it to be fulfilling. I want it to be full. I want it to be scripture. How do we receive the word? Well, first we must prepare ourselves. We must have a ready mind and prepare by praying. And then pre-read the selected text. You will have a ready mind if you have gotten your mind on the text that you're going to cover already. We give out those Sunday school books. What tells you in the Sunday school book before you come to Sunday school that week? What do you need to be reading? Right, in the Bible. And then there's even some commentary there that kind of gets you familiar with it before the teacher ever stands before you on that. Pre-read the text. It's not too hard to figure me out here. We did 1 through 9 last week. We did 10 through 15 today. Guess what verse we're going to start in next Sunday? Good job. Yeah, you guys are smart. You figured it out. And I was noticing myself, I'm getting a little bit too patterned. Guess what our breakup was in chapter 16? It was 1 through 9, and then 10 through 15. And I thought, man, I need to break up the monotony here just a little bit, or y'all are going to be sleeping on me. But pre-read the selected text to have a ready mind. Read the chapter before. Read the chapter we're studying. Read the chapter after. You'll be familiar. You'll understand. Then getting plenty of sleep helps us to receive the word, believe it or not. If you are not nodding off during the sermon or the Sunday school class, all the teachers are going right now. You will receive the word better than, what's the one thing you can't leave here today saying? I'm just not getting fed over there. This is the one Sunday. You can't say that, right? Because I'm blaming it all on you. But get plenty of sleep. You certainly don't want to be sleeping in church. A Sunday school teacher was talking to the children just before she dismissed them to go to church. And she said, now, children, why is it necessary for us to be quiet during the service? And one little girl poked up her head and she said, because people are sleeping. And certainly some of that falls on the preacher. We understand that preaching can get boring sometimes, and topics can be not as interesting as others. I used to let sleepers bother me. But one Sunday morning, I yelled out, and I said, hey, wake that guy up. And one of you yelled back at me and said, you put him to sleep. You come down here and wake him up. And I said, well, all right. So how do we receive the word? We have a ready mind. And then we see in the Bereans, at the end of verse number 11 there, that they searched the word daily. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. The Bereans listened to Paul preach, and then they searched the scriptures themselves to see if what he had said could be verified. Now that's new, but that is good and that is right. The folks he'd been preaching to did what people now typically do. If a guy preaches something and it's already something you know and you believe, well, then you amen him. But if it's not something you already know and you believe, then you're against it. You just, I don't know about that. Well, maybe you aren't. I'm that way. If it's new to me, I'm not always apt to accept it or receive it or to go and want to study it myself to see if it is the case. But this is what we must do. This is what the Bereans. Paul didn't preach something to them that they had been taught from children. Paul didn't preach something to them that their rabbis had taught them the last Sabbath. Paul came in and he preached something to them that was brand new. And the Jews up to this point, what had they done? They had said, this is not it. You get out of here. Don't bring that to our town. What did they say in Thessalonica? These that have turned the world upside down have come to us also. We don't want them here. We don't want them preaching that message here. But not the Bereans. They said, we've never heard this before. This is new to us. He's claiming that this is God. He's claiming that this is God's son. He is claiming that this is God's word. Well, we have a copy of the scriptures down at our synagogue. Let's go down every day this week. We're going to meet over there. We're going to read it, and we're going to try to determine, was Jesus the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies, or was he not? And they searched the words daily. They didn't go down to the rabbi to see if Paul was right here. They themselves went and searched the scriptures. They considered, what does the Bible say? Now, this is unique mainly because they were unlikely to possess any of their own copies of the word. Think about that. There were no printing presses. There were no smartphones. There were no printers, no computers, these kinds of things. Man, do you guys remember those printers that had the little strips of paper on each side with the dots in them? What were those called? Dot matrix printers? They would go, you know, and then you got like three lines, all of that, and you got three lines printed there, you know. That used to be what we did. We got it made now. I was at a church recently, had the church covenant hung up, you know. You remember those? They're this wide, and they're this tall. They're like 8 feet tall. Churches used to frame them and hang them somewhere really much in sight, you know. A lot of churches would have the church covenant and the Ten Commandments. Did y'all grow up in little churches like this? That must have been the 60s or 70s. That was kind of a thing. But I remember as a boy that I would always sit and look at that and think, man, what size printer did they have to run that thing off there? You know, it's 5 foot wide. Well, to get a copy of the scripture in their day, the Bereans might have had just the one. And it would have been kind of kept, not under lock and key, but it would have been protected down at the synagogue. To get a copy of scripture was painstaking. It called for hours and hours of copying by a scribe. This was not an easy thing to do. So it was necessary for them to go down to the synagogue to consult the copies to see, is what Paul preaching the truth? So how do we receive the word? We search it daily. We have it so much easier now than they did then. We have copies of Scripture everywhere. I mean, on each pew this morning, there's typically a copy per person sitting there because you brought your Bible to church with you. And then there's copies in the pew, in case you didn't, or if you need another one, it's there. And I'll bet every one of you has some sort of device on you this morning that has the copy of the Bible. Probably has 1,000 copies of the Bible right there on that electronic device. We have it so much easier than they did. Search the Word daily. We are without excuse, are we not, for searching the Scriptures. Do you see the priesthood of the believers here? Do you know what that means? They didn't go to the rabbis. They didn't just take what the apostle said. They themselves searched the Scriptures. This is God's way, by the way. You have direct access. You could come to me and I'll pray with you. That's what we do as a church. We pray for each other, but not because I'm clergy and you're laity. That is not our process here. Because I'm a brother in Christ and I'll pray for you, but you don't have to. Not that it's a bad thing to do that, but you can just yourself, you have direct access in prayer to Almighty God. Similarly, you have direct access to God's words and the answers to your prayer right in the Scriptures. He gave them to us, and we freely are allowed to just go and to read them and to consult them and to see what they might say. The Bereans searched the Scriptures for themselves. What else can we do to have a ready mind, to search the Word daily? Well, ask lots of questions. I will purposefully, in my sermons, say things that I think you either won't understand or that I think you might disagree with. Did y'all realize I do this? Some of you have because you've come to me on it. I do that to kind of prod you. You ever had to deal with animals like cows or something like that? You need them to go in a certain direction. There are two ways to do that. Where we used to live, there was horses, and sometimes the horses would get out, and we were afraid the horses would run into the road. This would be a bad thing. Well, the way to get those horses, you don't prod horses, I have learned. You got to get some feed in a bucket and shake it at them. Is this right, you horse people? And kind of get them to try to follow you. But if they see a gate or a fence or something they don't want to go through, I mean, good luck, right? But now, I had a friend growing up whose daddy had cows. We had a lot of fun with those cows. But you could get them to go sometimes just by prodding them, you know, just slap them or poke them, you know, and sometimes they would go that way. I'm making y'all out to be horses and cows here. It's a bad illustration. I generally just shake some feed in front of you and try to get you to follow along, but sometimes I'll say pointed things or off-base things just a little bit just to kind of to get that look on your face like, well, what now? And I expect that afternoon to have 47 text messages, you know. You know, you said such and such this morning, but I want you to go and search the Word yourself. Ask lots of questions. Listen to faithful preaching, and not just my preaching. I am not the cult leader. I don't want you to drink the red Kool-Aid. There are lots of other good preaching out there. In fact, I listen to a lot of it. You need to be being fed regularly, more regularly than you get to hear me. I know it's a blessing when you get to hear me, and we praise the Lord for it. But you need to be getting fed more than that. Do you only eat 3 times a week in your physical body? No, you eat 3 times a day, probably a little more. In fact, what have we learned as human beings who are learning more and more about diet? You ask most any nutritionist, doctor, whatever, are they telling you just to eat 3 meals a day? You healthy people, I can't speak to this because I'm going to go have an apple fritter here in just a minute. But what do they tell you about your eating? What are you supposed to do? 5 times a day. 5 smaller meals a day. 6 small. My doctor said 10, so let's say. I think that's what I heard anyway. Yeah, but why are we not doing this with the Scripture? Why are we not doing this with the Word? Why do we ever put a cap on it? What stops us from being in the Word? What stops us from receiving the Word? Well, probably, in the spiritual sense, the same thing that stops us from eating good things in the physical sense. Right? Search it daily. Ask lots of questions. Listen to faithful preaching. Read commentaries. There are books that go along with the Scripture. You don't have to agree with everything they say. You don't have to believe everything they say. But it's just more information. And it is helpful information. How do I know? It was 50 miles from Thessalonica over here to the Bereans. I didn't look it up on a map. And I don't know if I'd be that good with a map if I did. I've never been there. I've never driven it, you know. I was trying to bring that into our world, but I was going to say, how do I know how long it is from Pegram to Kingston? But I actually don't know. I guess they touch, so it's not a distance between each other. Maybe they don't touch. See, you don't want to trust me on this. I found a good commentary from a trusted scholar, and I read what they said, and then I took and I verified that with two others. I get three for every time that I bring something before you like that I'm not certain of myself. You can do the same. Typically, when we begin a new book study, I'll hand you a reading list. Here's who I'm going to be reading. If you want to read along, read the Scripture, and here are these books you can read along with. And that's helpful. It prepares your mind. It allows you to search the Scriptures daily on yourselves, by yourselves. Listen to audio sermons. Listen to audio lessons. Specifically, in our situation, listen carefully and with discernment to the sermon, and then go home and daily search it out yourself. You will take my little sermon here that I put together for you for about 25 minutes, and then you can take that throughout the week and study this passage of Scripture. I've just kind of given you a jumping in place. And you go and you study that this week, and you'll be amazed at what God will show you in His Word, how He'll speak to you through His Word. That is how God speaks to us. This is in His Word. So the Bereans, they had ready minds. They searched the Word daily. How else are we to receive the Word? Believe it. Look at verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. And when they had conducted Paul, they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Considering this morning how to receive the word, it really is pointless if our end goal is not to believe it, to not just believe what it says. Derek Thomas writes here, in the end, the question is, will you submit to what is true if God teaches it? Isn't that the question the Bereans had to consider? Paul was teaching something different, but he was saying that this was a word from God. So they had to decide, is this a word from God or not? But with that, they had to have the motive. If it is from God, then we are going to submit to what He said. Right? When your whole reason for searching the Scriptures, your whole reason for having a ready mind is to simply hear it, figure out what was wrong with what you have heard or read, and then disprove it, well, then it's not going to profit you anything. This was not the Bereans' motive. Their motive was, we want to believe that what you said is true, but we're not just going to take your word for it, and I say amen to that. We're going to search this out on our own, and if we see in God's word that this is the truth, then we will believe it. Thomas continues, and how will you know that? The answer, by turning to the Bible and examining it. Will you be a hearer only, or will you be both a hearer and a doer of the word? Isn't that really the only way to receive the word? To be a hearer and to be intending to be a doer of what you've heard? This is what the Bereans did. This is why they were considered more noble than those of Thessalonica. After hearing it with a ready mind, after searching it daily, many of them believed. And as should be expected, Satan was not about to stand idly by while this happened. Those who were stirred up 50 miles away in Thessalonica hear about what is happening here in Berea, so they come and they begin to stir up trouble there as well. So having learned, it now seems, the church sends Paul on his way safely. Now, I think it took a few cities for them to figure that part out, didn't it? Paul would kind of get surprised, and they'd drag him and beat him and jail him a couple of times at least. Now they're kind of catching this ahead of time. They're seeing the handwriting on the wall, so to speak, and they're getting Paul away before, I don't know how many more of these beatings he could have taken, you know. So they're getting him out of town early, and that's what we see here. He goes on to Athens by himself, and then Silas and Timothy later join him. Well, we get one final lesson here in reading those verses about how to receive the word. It goes from they were more noble to they had ready minds to they searched the word daily to they many of them believed it to and then trouble was stirred up. And Thessalonica comes to Berea and they begin to stir up trouble. I want to encourage you this morning to receive God's word, to have a ready mind, to search it daily on your own, to believe what it says. But this is no promise that doing that is going to lead to an easy life. In fact, the deeper you get into the word, you may find that it causes more and more of a stir in your life in certain areas. I have found in my own life that things that I enjoy, the word takes up the time for those things. I found in my own life the things that I want to do when I'm in the Word and believing what it says, I decide to do what the Word says instead of the things I want to do a lot of times. So I don't want you to enter this exercise lightly. It might very well change your life. That's a horrible sales pitch, isn't it? But that's the goal, isn't it? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit. How to receive the word? We need to have ready minds. We need to search it daily. We need to believe what it says. But when we do, go ahead and expect some trouble. If you are not right now, well then Satan's happy with your idleness. Your flesh is happy with your idleness. The world around you is happy with your idleness. But you get serious about God's word. You get it on your mind. You begin to speak to your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones, and all they want to, they'll start saying, man, all he ever talks about is that Bible. What's wrong with him? I think they're in a cult over there at that church. They'll say these things about you. But you'll be full of God's word. You'll be full of the wisdom of God's word. You'll be full of the security and the goodness, the richness of God's word. There's nothing better. You'll have the wisdom and the guidance of God through his word. Wiersbe says, all of us should imitate these Bereans by faithfully studying God's word daily, discussing it, and testing the messages that we hear. So I ask you this morning, are you receiving the word? Do you have a ready mind? Are you searching it daily? Do you believe and put into use what you learn? So let's take a moment and pray.